Hello, friends. Welcome to Read 'Em and Weep. It me, your host, Sammy, and I bring you this podcast this week from a place of quarantine, a place of isolation. That's right. Your humble host has contracted COVID-19 after 2+ years of trying not to get this shit in the worst way. I was ultimately foiled and undone by my germ bucket 2.5-year-old toddler. Tough scene. So it has been a tough couple days in the Reed household, but I'm feeling a little better today. I thought I'd get my shit together and drop an episode for you guys. I have not played cards since the last episode I dropped a week ago with Adam Levitan. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to it. It's one of the favorite ones that I've done so far. But I do have a couple of hands from the previous week that didn't make any of the podcasts that I can throw on here. So I thought I'd do that for you guys. So if you were looking for a podcast where the host is very low energy and he sounds like shit, you are in the right place, my friends. I got two hands for you. One that I played good, one that I played bad. Let's get into it. All right, hand one, we're playing 235 at the California Grand Casino. This is very soon after I started a session. So, you know, I'm up like a couple bucks, like probably have like 1,050 in front of me or something. And I'm in early position and I look down at ace king offsuit with the ace of spades and I open to 20. I get two callers behind me, somebody I don't even remember, and an OMC. And we go three ways to the flop. And the flop is king jack 10 rainbow with one spade. So I have ace king, it's king jack 10. I flop top pair, top kicker, and a gutter ball. And I think this can go either way. I think both checking and betting are fine. I kind of lean toward a bet here because there are several hands that I can get value from. All the hands that have a pair plus a draw, right? So king, queen, queen, jack, queen, 10, even a hand like 10, 9 or jack 9 might peel for a small sizing. So that's what I do. I put a small bet in, 25 into 60, a little less than half pot, and both players call. Okay, cool. The turn now comes the queen of spades, making me the Broadway straight. Now there's all four Broadway cards on board, and I have ace king in my hand. It's also the second spade, and I have the ace of spades in my hand. And with the Broadway straight, I just decide to bet again. And again, I want to bet, and I still want to bet fairly small because what I don't want to do is just fold everybody's hands out, right? It's very credible. I have an ace. And what I'd really like to do is keep in hands like two pair that are just like hoping they can hit a full house on the river or, you know, catch somebody in there with a nine. I don't want to bet too big and get all these hands that I beat out of there, right? It's very clear to everybody with 1/8 of a brain cell that an ace will make the straight, right? So there's no like disguising this. So I bet very small. I bet 40 into 135. The first guy folds, and then the OMC, the action's on him. Again, if you're not familiar with what an OMC is, it stands for old man coffee for the boomers who never put in a single cent unless they have the nuts. And that's what this guy is. He's a very nice OMC. He's a very kind man, but he's certainly not the kind of guy that's going to put any money into the pot if he doesn't just have the goods. And he raises to 200. Well, shit. There's only one thing he could have that he would ever do this with, and that's with an ace in his hand. And so we are going to chop the pot. We both have the same hand. But I stop and I think about a play that I believe Doyle Brunson talked about in Super System. I haven't read Super System in, I don't know, 10, 15 years. It's been a hell of a long time. But I figure most of the people listening to this podcast, most of you guys have probably read Super System at one point or another. And let's see if you remember this play. I don't know how I did. It just kind of came to me, but here we go. I decide to just make the call. And the reason I decide to do this is to give myself a chance to bluff him off a chop on the river. And I have a perfect hand to do this with. I have ace king and the board is king, jack, 10, queen. So the fact that I have a king in my hand blocks a ton of any full houses that he could ever have. And then obviously we know he won't have one because he's got an ace in his hand right now. The other thing is I have the ace of spades and now there's two spades on board. So either if the board pairs or if a third spade comes, I actually have a really cool bluffing opportunity. So I call his $200 raise, and the river comes, the most blessedest of cards, my friends. It comes an offsuit king, pairing the board. So it's king, jack, 10, queen, king. And I have ace king. So I decide to lead jam for about $800 into 535. And he immediately turns green around the gills. He did not want to see the board pair. And he's just laughing. He's like, oh man, can't believe that card came. And he's really fucked here, right? Like, think about it. There's 535 in the pot and I stuff for 800. This is never a stone cold bluff, right? So from his perspective, he's either chopping the hand, in which case he only gets half of the 535, or he's going to lose the whole thing because I just made a full house. And certainly the way I played this, I could easily have flopped a set. I could easily have had top two pair, something like that, and called his raise trying to hit a full house on the river. So when I stuff here, he's getting the shittiest of odds. So to sometimes win 270 and then sometimes lose the entire kit and caboodle. So he thinks about it for a minute and he folds the hand and Sammy takes it down. I ripped about $270 from this guy's pocket that we should have split, that instead became my dollars. And you might be asking yourself, Sammy, why did you do this to this nice old man? Well, fuck him. That's why. My family's got to eat. We got the Rona. But yeah, we had to take that money from him. And, you know, let me just say, I'm proud of myself for seeing the play and just knowing that I had a really cool opportunity to bluff a guy off a chop in a fairly significant pot, right? $270. We like 270. So we won a free 270 here by being aware and knowing that if the river came in a way that was advantageous for us, that we could put this guy in a fucked up spot, just put him in the fucking vice and take the money from him. And that's what we did. Congratulations to me. Obama putting a medal on himself. .meme. We're very proud of ourselves. Allow myself to congratulate myself very robustly on this podcast. Okay, that's hand one. Stay tuned for hand two, which is going to be a hand that we're not going to congratulate ourselves on at all. All right, hand two. This is a different session, but it's still at the California Grand. It is 235, and we are on the button. Loose passive recreational player limps under the gun for five, and it gets to us on the button, and I look down at pocket deuces. We are pretty deep. We're about 1.1K effective here, so I definitely think putting in a raise is good. We want to build a pot in position and hopefully drive some other players out and play a pot heads up in position. So I raise to 25 with my pocket deuces, but the big blind decides to cold call. He's an unknown player, but he's been playing fairly solid this session. Pretty close to the vest, not really out there doing too much crazy stuff. He calls, and then the under the gun limper calls as well. So we're going three ways. We do have position on both the players, and the flop comes ace 10-3 rainbow. We have pocket deuces. Both players check to us. I c-bet 35 into 75. I'm not really sure that I like my c-bet here. I just think, you know, maybe heads up it's okay. But like against two players, it's just going to get called way too often on this board texture. A board like this board, ace 10-3, is going to lend itself to a lot more calls than one like ace 9-3. They seem so close, but ace 10-3... players just have more tens in their ranges than nines in general, but also it just creates a lot of Broadway gutters that can call this flop. And, you know, when you're c-betting with a basically zero equity hand like pocket deuces, you're basically hoping that everybody folds. It's not a hand that you'd necessarily want to turn into a multi-street bluff, just because it's just got like almost no equity to it. So I don't really think I like my c-bet here. I think if I'm going to take a shot at it, I think just checking back the flop, and if they both check the turn, maybe doing a delayed c-bet on the turn is the best course of action. But I do make the small c-bet, and both players call, Like, it what didn't even have a chance. Totally hopeless. The turn comes in offsuit seven. So ace 10-3 on the flop, and then seven. We have pocket deuces. Both players check to me. And of course, I think for a half second about running a three barrel bluff just to get 10x and weaker ace x to fold. But like I said, it's not a good spot, and this is not a good hand candidate to do it with. So I decide the better of it, and I check behind, giving up on the whole thing. I'm just going to give up here. The river comes a king. So ace 10-3, seven, king. Now the big blind leads for 60 into 180. The under the gun player folds and gets back to me. And I'll tell you guys, I was all set to give up on this hand, but three things happened on the river to kind of trigger me into bluffing here. So number one, the big blind's bet. The size of his bet is one third the size of the pot. And this feels like a very marginal hand, right? Feels like a marginal top pair of aces, like, you know, ace nine or something like that, trying to get thin value from a worse ace or a rivered king. And then secondly, the king feels like a really good bluff card for me, right? I think my line is very believable for something like pocket kings or queen jack that would have rivered Broadway, something like that, where, you know, I see bet the flop small and got called and gave up on the turn and then hit my hand on the river. And certainly if the guy's not a good hand reader, like maybe he thinks I even have something like ace king making two pair, king 10 that made two pair. You know, I just think that it's a pretty good bluff card for me. And then third, nobody bluffs the river, right? Nobody bluff raises the river at these stakes. So when I put in a big bluff raise, I just think most people have it in their mind that when you get raised on the river, man, they almost always have it. So I have all those things, three things going for me. I hike up my skirt and I raise to 300. And the big blind goes into the tank. And I'm just like, oh yeah, this bitch gonna fold to this bet. Like, he can't hang. Like, no one pair hand can call this bet. No way. And then he calls it, of course, right in my fucking eye. I muck the hand and he mucks his hand. And we never figure out what he had because we were just so embarrassed. We didn't want to show people that we bluffed with a pair of deuces. So let's talk about the ways that I fucked up this hand, because they are myriad ways. Okay, so number one, I think preflop ISO raising on the button with deuces, especially this deep, is fine. But I talked about the c-bet on the flop. It's just a crappy c-bet in a multi-way scenario. It's just not a good spot for all the reasons aforementioned. So I could have kept the pot smaller and I could have taken free equity. I didn't. Checking back the turn is fine, but let's really dive into my decision to bluff the river. So I gave you three good reasons why I thought it was cool to bluff the river. And those reasons all do have merit, but the reality is this, is that I had a shitty hand candidate to do this. And I talked about this a couple episodes ago, but the reason that I pounced on this spot is because he made a weak bet on the river. And let me just tell you, that's not a good enough reason. You can't just be like, this guy, you know, he bet pretty small. So I was like, fuck that guy, I raised. Okay, it will work sometimes. But the reality is you need to have good hand candidates to do this with. Pocket deuces is a shitty hand candidate. It doesn't block anything. It doesn't block any of the straights. It doesn't block two pairs. It doesn't block top pair. It doesn't do any of that. It doesn't reduce the chances in any way that he's got a good hand that he can call with. So that's really bad. And then also it's a bad spot because I checked back the turn. When I c-bet the flop and then check back the turn, that caps my range. That's telling them, okay, this guy doesn't have ace king. This guy doesn't have pocket aces. He doesn't have pocket tens. He doesn't have sets and two pairs. Like, it caps my range. Could the king improve that? I mean, yeah, like I said, it could improve like pocket kings and queen jack in a big hands, but like, that's pretty thin value, right? The majority of my other hands would probably just be calling his bet, not raising it. So this guy, if he's really thinking about it, is going to realize that I'm repping very little value here. And from my perspective, again, I'm not blocking much of the value that he can be calling with. So all in all, this is a pretty bad job. And it's frankly a punt. And the guy caught my punt. You know, he broke me off. And let me tell you something else bad that I did. I didn't show my hand. One thing that I really like to do in general is if someone catches me bluffing, I just roll over the bluff. I want to advertise, you know, it gives me a chance to advertise that I'm willing to bluff, that I will get out there. It'll give me some action later. And it also lets me see what this guy called me down with. I generally think that I can do a better job with the information that somebody gives me than the information that I give to them. Just something I generally believe and something I generally think I'm right about. And so not understanding, not getting the information of what this guy was willing to call me with here, it lost me out on some information that, again, I think I could use better than that player could against me in the future. So, yeah, I just did everything fucking wrong here, you know, and I didn't have COVID at this time. So there's really no excuse for this fog-brained ass play that I made. I mean, fire me into the goddamn sun, man. Like just dusting off a bunch of money with pocket deuces, no equity, capping my own range on the turn is just like egregiously played. I am the donkey boy. All right, guys, I hope you like this episode. Again, I recognize that it probably wasn't the best episode. I feel pretty low energy. My voice sucks, all that shit. But let us pray to the poker gods or whatever god that you believe in that next week I'm feeling a lot better. I'll have some new hands for you guys, and everybody in the Reed family will be doing a lot better. And until then, play good and run pure.